Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Longtime NFL reporter joining us on the program on the Byers Barricades hotline. Ed Werder joining us here on the Triple Threat. Ed, it's Sean and Rich. How are you?
I'm well. Just back home from the game last night, as you mentioned. And it's amazing how a game that seems so one-sided, a 20-point game at halftime can turn into a nail-biter at the end, as last night's did. The NFL, always good for drama.
Yeah, no question about that. We're only getting impressions, Ed, from watching it on TV last night and seeing the visuals of it, and obviously listening to it on the radio as well. But the visuals, this Tampa looks like a city that just a couple of games in, they got the guys out there in the stands with the beards on, and everybody's going crazy for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The women were wearing beards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess as someone who was...
I kid you not.
No, we saw it. And as someone who was on the sidelines, can you give us just your impressions of the vibe in Tampa Bay with this Ryan Fitzpatrick-led team right now? And how long do you think this thing can last with him at quarterback?
Well, to answer your first question, there was a little bit of excitement from the standpoint of, you know, the Bucs were the only team in their division that didn't make the playoffs last year. Yeah. And they are looking at a season starting without their franchise quarterback and the former number one overall pick in the draft, Jameis Winston, who's been suspended for three games. And they're starting the season with what is historically the toughest schedule in the history of the NFL based on their opponent's record the year before. And then with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a 35-year-old father of six, mm-hmm. who's been with seven different teams, goes out and becomes the first player in history to throw for 400 yards and four touchdown passes in back-to-back games and win both. And then the, you know, Winston preparing to come out and from his suspension and be available the following day, there was a good bit of excitement there. Although I have to say, quite a bit of it was muted by the terrible towels. And yeah. The fact that the Steelers
yes.
Fan base travels like they do. I mean, I guess it's anything to get out of Pittsburgh. But no, I like Pittsburgh. I've been there many times. But when their fans have a chance to go to a desirable beach location like that, or go see one of the, you know, premier games in football and come to Dallas or whatever, they can take over a stadium.
Yep. Yeah.
And to some degree, they achieved that last night. And so it was maybe a little more neutral sight than you would have expected. Hmm. As far as the quarterback situation there, you know, in the first half, you know, Fitz magic turned into Fitz tragic,
mm-hmm.
and it looked like the Dirk Cutter and his staff were going to have a decision to make. But my sense is, given the way the game ended and what he's accomplished there and the feeling in the locker room for Fitzpatrick, you know, he's going to have to play his way out of this. You know, Jameis put himself in the situation that he was in. It wasn't an injury. It was another negative situation that he elected to put himself in. And so I don't think they feel there's any obligation to give him anything. The change of quarterback will have to come kind of organically, which it almost always does with Fitz anyway. He's never made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So eventually at some point, the wheels will completely come off for an entire four quarters in all likelihood, and it'll be obvious when Jameis Winston will be returned to the helm, and those are the circumstances I expect.
Ed, I want to ask you about this roughing the passer stuff, but please take this comment as the tongue-in-cheek comment that it is. Have you taken Jason Witten aside and explained to him the meaning of left wing? Or might he have meant wing T? I'm not sure.
I, you know, if you know Jason Witten, and I've covered his entire career here in Dallas, he's not a political person, and anything he said was not politically oriented, at least not intentionally so. I think he just misspoke. But
I think you're right.
Yeah, obviously the rule is terrible, the way it's being enforced. Anytime now that the competition committee is asked to consider a rule change that is going to protect quarterbacks or players from injury, it's probably going to pass. The implementation of it, I think, like the penalty everybody was concerned about in the offseason or in the preseason, the initiating contact with the helmet on either side of the ball, that kind of went away. I think this penalty will also be reduced in terms of the number of times it's called going forward. The competition committee is going to talk about it next week. I think they'll tell the officials not to call it unless it's really egregious, like it was when Aaron Rodgers was driven into the ground by Aaron Barr, up in Minnesota last year. That was the intent of the rule. The irony, of course, is the Packers have suffered the consequences of this rule put in to protect Aaron Rodgers more than anybody else, because Clay Matthews has been penalized for it three times, once in each game already, and probably undeservedly so at least two of the times. But nobody wants to see that. And when the quarterbacks who this rule is designed to protect are the ones complaining about it, then I think you know that something has to change.
Ed Werder joining us on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. Ed, what's your sense for how this Le'Veon Bell thing ends up playing out?
I really don't know. I don't see the Steelers giving in. Whether they're willing to set the precedent of allowing a franchise tag player who turned down what they think was a fair offer of $15 million for this season, do they get to some point where either James Conner, they think they can win with him, or their season becomes hopeless enough that they decide, well, we might as well get rid of his salary for the rest of the year and get a draft pick rather than, saving ourselves $850,000 every time he doesn't play. Let's just save the balance of his contract now. I could certainly see them getting to that point. And then, to me, it just becomes a matter of how much is somebody willing to give up for a running back as good as Le'Veon Bell is, who didn't have a great year last year and is going to become a free agent. I mean, whoever he would be moved to cannot sign him to a long-term deal either. And so you're basically renting a player for a year, and that becomes less and less desirable the deeper we get into the season.
Ed, of all the results in week 3, I think I'm safe in saying the most shocking was the Bills going into Minnesota and doing what they did to the Vikings. What are we to make of that beyond it's early in the season and teams are still establishing their identity? I mean, what's your takeaway from that? They destroyed them.
Yeah, I think, and everybody thought that Josh Allen, among the quarterbacks drafted in the first round, he and Lamar Jackson were probably the two that were least prepared to play as rookies, and yet a bad team has been turned over to Josh Allen, and, he suffered the consequences of not having an offensive line in his first start the week before, and the Vikings, we all know to be one of the best defensive teams in football. In fact, they were the absolute best in almost every measurable a year ago and brought back almost the same entire team. I think the Vikings can be guilty of having overlooked this game, maybe, with this big showdown against the Rams coming up on Thursday night, 72 hours later. And Josh Allen was a lot more athletic, a lot more reckless and daring maybe than they expected, and maybe more so than he should be going forward if he wants to have a long career in this league. But I thought he showed tremendous competitiveness, and there's no question it shocked the Vikings. And I think the thing the Vikings have to be concerned about is this, Everson Griffin situation, some of the injuries they've taken on defense now, and the fact that Kirk Cousins did not play very well in that game the other night.
No, he did not. Ed Werder joining us on Sports Radio 610. Ed, your thoughts on the Houston Texans? We got to get your thoughts on that since we're here in Houston. 0-3, they traveled to Indianapolis, which has not always been a friendly place for them, and they got the Cowboys coming here a week after that. That may be a game to see which team can end the other one season officially. Just your thoughts on the Texans early in the season here.
First 1-1 wins.
Right.
The Cowboys-Texans game. Yeah, I mean, they've obviously put themselves in a bad situation. I don't think it's entirely surprising that they would be struggling on offense like they are, given the injury to Deshaun Watson and the fact that, nobody really plays guys and exposes them to injury in the preseason. And so to some extent, your preseason games come early in the regular season. That being said, if I own that team, I feel pretty good still about the head coach and the general manager, Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien, and I've got my quarterback and I got J.J. Watt back. The thing that would concern me with the slow start in particular is the relative strength of the division you know, getting better, that the Colts are a more formidable opponent now with Andrew Luck playing like he is, and the new head coach there, Frank Reich. And I think, you know, if the Jaguars didn't prove themselves to be one of the best teams in football, at least in the AFC last year, I think they reiterated the point by beating the Patriots week two and doing it thoroughly, although the Lions did the same thing, so maybe the Patriots.
And we just lost Ed.
I think we did.
All right. We just, Ed just dropped.
Ed knew the clock. He knew we were up against it.
BMAC, you tell me you didn't just cut
no,
off
of course
our
not.
Guest. I know you didn't.
I mean, I did.
Yeah. All right. Well, if he calls back, tell him we're up against it. So if he calls back, tell him that we said thank you very much for the time. That was good stuff from Ed Werder.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.